Hey, stick around to the end of the podcast. We have a really cool interview with Mark Wills. He was recently inducted into the Grand Ole Opry. We'll talk about that, what he's been up to, and much, much more right after the end of the closing jingle. So stick around for all of that.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one.
Extra.
And that's how we extra. Get the podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Beatles.
There you go. That's our gold today. Our gold is straight from Japan. Kayoko.
Beatles.
She's so great.
She was our liaison, interpreter,
everything
at our first stop in Japan.
She was amazing. We're going to tell you all about her in just a moment. The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Beatles.
You know, the first stop in Japan, you know, first off, you know, and I'm not complaining, well, a little bit, I guess. It's a long ways to get there.
When you start off saying that you're not complaining, that complaining. Means you're complaining.
You know it. That's exactly right. You're right. Busted.
I'm not going to be. This might not sound racist, but.
5 hours to get to San Francisco and then 15? 4 to 12?
How long was the flight?
I know this. I know we left our homes at 3 a.m. And when we got to the base in Japan and finally got to our rooms, it was 10 o'clock Japan time, which is 7 a.m.
The next day.
So we had been traveling for 28 hours.
And just so we can explain, going across Tokyo took almost 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Tokyo is humongous. It's every bit as spread out as L.A. times two with Manhattan density.
Yeah, and it felt like we were on a loop. Like we kept seeing the same...
Oh, I tell people all the time, when I explain to it, I said, you know, like when you go into like a large city, say if you're driving into Nashville, imagine there's an interstate driving through downtown Nashville, like Broadway was an interstate or freeway. Well, it was like that, but it kept going for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like on and on. And it built.
It's the density of Manhattan. I mean, I've driven in Los Angeles. I've driven in Manhattan. And as someone who has done both.
And
it was so spread out. It was like two LAs as far as size-wise, but just dense and completely crazy populated like Manhattan.
I've driven across London, which is one of the biggest cities in the world, and it's big, but it's not that, like Bo keeps saying, it's not that dense. It's not everything piled on top of each other, and there's no shoulder.
I was going to say.
There's no shoulder
On the interstates, the freeways, whatever you want to call it, there's no shoulders, and literally you can probably reach out and pull somebody's clothing off of their balcony from their apartment because they're that close to the freeway.
I did not know that. Tokyo is the largest city in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
How many people?
38 million.
Which is the market. That's
basically twice New York City.
No, New York total media market, I think, is...
I have the list here.
14?
18.5.
18?
So, yeah, it's still almost 20. I mean, almost twice the size of New
York
City.
It's more than twice.
Yeah, it's more than twice.
38 is well over twice 16.
Oh, I thought you said 30. 0.8, not 38.
38.
Oh, gosh.
And the next one is Delhi, India, and it's 25 million. So it's not even close. It's not even close.
It is huge.
I mean, and Osaka is at number 8 at 20 million.
It's insane. It's a beautiful country. That's... I will say this. First of all, thank you to the USO for allowing us to go and do the tour. That was amazing. To be able to go and do the shows for the troops on the three different bases and their families in some cases, it was amazing. But to see Japan, you know, I did Japan years ago when I lived in Guam. We did a weekend and went and partied. I don't remember it. I don't. This I remembered, and I will remember it for the rest of my life. Not only for the size of everything and the scope and the food and the this and that, but also the personal connections. You know, we met a lot of people there who were fans of the show and were so thrilled to see us out there. And then we met a bunch of people who had never even heard the show and became fans of the show from doing the USO tours out there. So
why don't you remember it?
Because I don't know.
When you're
a young man and you're there and you just do young man things.
I got you. When we landed, we're walking up through, because we got to go through customs, and we're walking up with our bags and whatnot, our carry-ons, and we're trying to get out of like the little area to get to the next area, and there is a, what is it, Patrick, you and I saw, there was like a little room off to the side where it was like a health clinic kind of.
It was a quarantine room.
Yeah.
Basically, this is before you get to immigration. They're like, they're not going to let you into the country if you're sick. So if you were fine when you left, but you got sick on the plane and you're in, have any kind of symptoms, they want to stop you there.
Well, they were taking your temperature.
Yeah, and they had a heat camera on people as they were walking through, and it said, we are monitoring your body temperature.
Yeah.
So if you have like a 100-degree or 101-degree fever, that heat camera is going to know it, and it's going to pop you.
The what don't know it?
Stop you. Yeah. The
heat camera?
Heat camera. Whatever.
Yeah, the heat camera.
Oh. Those are cool.
My camera on my new iPhone is so good. So I took so many great videos in the camera.
Beatles!
And all I could think of was, because it's probably white for the heat.
Mm-hmm.
All I could think about was we must look like angels on screen.
Oh, just glowing.
Because just so the three hot. Of us, just listen, first, my body temperature goes up just from walking.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I had been walking
for 3,000 miles.
Yeah. They also do not believe in air conditioning, which is crazy. Like, something I did notice about being in Japan is they don't like to have air conditioning anywhere.
But I mean,
anyhow.
It wasn't warm enough to have air conditioning.
But what
on.
I'm saying is it's cold outside. So what they do is they set the temperature instead of like we would, like somewhere around the 70, low 70s mark, somewhere up in there. They set it at 90, and then it's really hot, and then about 20 minutes later they'll kick on the fans to blow out more hot air. To get some, there's no circulation in their buildings.
I found that it was off about 7 degrees,
just enough to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it wasn't 90, but it was like 79, 78. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of like, it's not terrible, but
it wasn't moving.
I don't know. I get a lot of that in. I don't know what you're talking about. Cause I get a lot of that here. Like when it's cold outside, people don't set the. Of course, you don't have the air conditioner on, and when you get too many people in a room. The temperature of the room goes up, and nobody bothers. I mean, you guys don't go out to a lot of bars for a lot of concerts and stuff. I get that all the time where it's like, can someone turn the air conditioner on?
Yeah.
Of course, they don't think to because it's 30 degrees outside, but then you get 250 people in a room.
It's right. Raises
it's real. It's got that muggy, kind of sticky.
What is the thing called that you can push a button and it will look at an, like creates an image that you can keep forever?
Called a camera.
That's it. Camera. I was like, I couldn't think about it. What it was? It's a camera.
We would get a lot more done around here if you two wouldn't fixate on every time
that
I
is what
screw
it is.
Up and say a word wrong.
It's not just you though.
Oh no, it's
Big
not.
D
but it
like,
really is just the biggest. Distraction.
I said something whenever we were ordering at the miso soup place or whatever, getting ramen, and he's like, "Oh, you know what you said?" And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "You said this." And he's like, "I have it on video."
That's not how it went at all.
Oh, how did it go?
Oh, it's you saying, I said blah, blah, blah. I said blah, blah, blah.
No, I did not. I didn't know I said anything.
Oh, really? How much?
Uh-oh, he's how got much? The video.
Okay, let's see the video.
Well, how much you put on it? I want to know. We're not.
Let's hear it.
No.
Let's hear it.
No, we're playing. I'm not going to show you.
I don't gamble.
Well, then you're not going to see
he
it.
He also doesn't remember things.
No,
so
he
knows.
No.
He knows
he
all
thinks
the
he
top.
Has, that's right.
That
that's exactly right. I'll find it here in a second. That was at that. That was at some of these. I cannot.
Was that
play.
The ramen place? The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one where we. That was the best. I thought that was the best ramen.
Really
I had.
Really good food.
Well, ramen there like isn't like
in?
Ramen
excuse
here.
Me? Excuse me. Excuse me. Pardon. Excuse me. I'm plugging this into my camera so that you can hear what you said. Now you said that. Your the way
Did
your
I
story
call myself
went,
out really?
The way their story went was Big D did that to me in Japan.
Right.
I said something wrong.
He said it this morning. You said, you know, I have you on camera, saying whatever. You wouldn't let it go.
Okay, that's not what you just said a second ago.
That isn't. Yeah. I mean, even just a second ago.
Yeah, right. play your audio.
2 minutes ago. Yeah, I did that in Japan, and D said, do you know what you said? Do you know what you said? I have it on camera. I mean, Kramer. Which you said wrong. You said camera. Let me see here. This is Pachinko. Okay, found it.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Was I inebriated?
No. A little
bit. No, because I had a couple cans of that 9% stuff.
Yeah, you did. You did. So maybe that plays in. Here we go.
Poik.
She doesn't know. Instead of pork, you said poik.
I like some poik.
Yeah, can you make it poik? And then you look at the camera and go, I said poik.
I called. I'm good. I called myself out. I didn't.
Nope. Thank you very much. I'm confused.
I'm drunk.
That's also the night I said Guantanamo.
Yes, instead of arigato. It's still that might be my favorite
That's
story.
That's my favorite.
You're supposed to say arigato because that means thank you.
He said it with the right inflection and everything, kind of bowed a little bit and went, a Guantanamo.
And bless her heart, she just went, yes, okay.
Okay.
Hey, look, man, maybe they'll adopt Guantanamo as a thing. Who knows? That might be the future of the Japanese language.
And Guantanamo actually sounds Japanese.
It does. It was
It's one of the few words that actually could, you know.
She was probably like, I wonder what weird dialect that is, because I've never heard that one before.
Guantanamo sounds Japan. Kramer kind of sounds Japanese. And so we landed.
What
we
about get poik?
Poik. Poik definitely sounds Japanese. And we get through customs, which was very easy. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Japanese it was customs. Nothing. They were just like,
as long as you didn't have a fever, you're good to go.
And then we met up with the girls, Carly and Jessamay.
And then Jeremy from the USO and Matt, who was from the USO. He's basically like the show engineer.
Like production guy.
Yeah, he actually set up. He did all the work.
He really did,
he did all the work. He
Thank
set
you,
up
Matt.
All of the shows and did all of the stuff and went before us and left after us and everything.
So it was just
seven of us.
Yeah. And that was it. When we got into a gigantic van that seats 100.
We got into a bus.
Yeah, it was a bus sorry, at the airport. Yeah. And that's where we met Kyoko.
Kyoko!
The first time.
Beatles!
Yes.
And that is her. And she
She was the assistant manager of the bar on base, like the little club for the enlisted, and she was awesome. So like she completely took care of us the whole time.
She was like our mother and our translator. And so they stop. We're hungry. We didn't eat. You know, I guess we ate on the plane, but that was hours before, and it's dinner time. So they don't have dinner built into the plan. So we stopped at a truck stop, and I was like, "Oh, we're gonna eat at a truck stop." No, the truck stop had a food court in it with like...
The truck stop is like a mall.
It is. It was like a little mini mall with a food court with 10 restaurants.
Mini mall.
Hey. So we're there and they have all this different stuff. And you think, you know, it's like, that might be chicken, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And so thankfully we had Kyoko to go... Kyoko, ask her what that is.
But when she was off helping you guys, I was over there sitting there with my Google Translate camera holding it up to things. There was one bowl of it looked like ramen, but it said fix diarrhea.
Yeah, that Google Translate and Japanese writing do not get along because we got Google Translate to say all kind of weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you could point it at the same sentence, and it would say four different things. So, like, it works real good with French and, you know, Spanish or whatever when it's when the word, when the letters.
The characters and their stylized fonts and everything?
Yeah, I think they're so complicated, and, you know, it's just hard to read it.
It had no idea.
What did you end up eating, Bubba, at that place?
The truck stop, I ended up grabbing a bunch of those little, okay, first of all, they sell individual wrapped sushi rolls at the truck stop, like the gas station, and you think there's no way I'm going to eat gas station sushi. I'm going to put it on the record right now that gas station sushi at the truck stops in Japan is by far leaps and bounds better than any of the best sushi I've had in some of the most expensive sushi houses in America. It was so good, so fresh. It was amazing. You know, like you think you kind of equate that to here in the States, going by a chicken salad sandwich from the refrigerator at the store on the corner. That's kind of what it was like, except it was sushi, and it was perfect. Everything was amazing. I had kimchi and some salmon roe and all kinds of other crazy stuff. I grabbed a giant salmon big roe? Plastic
yeah,
bag.
It's the eggs. Roe.
Yeah.
It's like caviar.
I grabbed a big giant bag that was heavy, full of junk food and sushi and all that. And it was all fantastic, amazingly delicious. And it cost me about $12.
Yeah, everything was so cheap. We bought like two things of fried chicken. It was like chicken thighs, but boneless.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some potato cakes and a bunch of other stuff. And, you know, a bag full of stuff. And it was like $11.
Yeah.
Okay, food in Japan was really cheap.
Well, we went out to the sushi train. Do we want to get to that a little bit later?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that story's crazy.
Everything was so cheap.
So we got to the base. It was raining. We couldn't see Mount Fuji. Which was kind of a bummer. We stayed there all overnight. The next day, we went around and we met. We did little meet and greets. We got with the lieutenant colonel who... No, we got with the master sergeant who
sergeant
showed
major.
Us around. Sergeant major.
Well, you were close.
I get so confused because we went to so many different bases with all these different...
Major Weibel at Mount Fuji. So this is the Marines. And he introduced us to the colonel, and that was great. And the colonel's the CO. And then the sergeant major is like the guy who gets stuff done. So he took us around base, and he showed us almost everything. Unfortunately, he didn't show us any of the guns or the tanks.
Well,
or
we
any
couldn't
of the fun,
because
you know,
they were as we were pulling in, they were pulling guys out of the field to come to the show that night, which was cool. But there were still some people out there because the artillery was going off at all hours of the day.
First thing in the morning. First of all, at 5:30, you hear reveille. Yeah. And I like it'll jump you out of bed, man. I'm laying in that hotel bed, and all of a sudden you just hear that bugle go, and you're like, oh, okay, this is a real thing. And then it's starting around 6 a.m., you'd be randomly just sitting around here, boom, whoa.
Oh, and it shakes the whole building.
They're miles away. They're not anywhere near us, but you could hear it. You could feel it.
So we get to tour around, and Patrick and I took a little midday excursion after lunch and went to a pachinko parlor, which is a casino where they play it with little round metal balls, like their ball bearings. That was crazy.
I downloaded a pachinko app on my phone thinking, well, let me at least try to understand the game. It's pinball and Plinko from Price is Right kind of combined.
That's it.
And your odds of winning are just bad.
Well, but for me, the game was, I understand the game. They have controls that I didn't get. Like you have to turn a knob. And
it's how much you turn it determines how hard it fires. And so some people have gotten to where they feel like they mastered it. But I don't understand it.
But it's this all. You know. Anyway, then you take that and then you get prizes and you go next door and take those prizes for money. And that's how they get around it. Then we had the show that night. The show was at 8. The Marines showed up at 6 and started drinking. And so they had a 2-hour head start on us. And so when the show started... Wow, hey.
It was so
this
amazing.
Is different.
It was amazing, man.
Yeah.
I've never in my life been in front of a crowd that rowdy and that fun.
No.
You know, there's always, every show you go to, there's somebody who's like a heckler. The difference is at the Marine show, there was somebody who wasn't a heckler. Everybody was just like loud and shouting and just fun.
I remember halfway through it going, there's a constant murmur. There's a constant noise going
there's
on.
There's somebody always talking, and they're arguing. And they were happy, too, because we were there with two female comedians, and you know these guys and gals on the base, they don't see a lot of people that aren't on the base. So, I mean, we definitely all stood out because none of us look like Marines.
The girls actually kind of helped us learn quickly because they went out first, And they said, we can't do stand-up. You can't go out there and tell a story and then wait for a punchline. And you can't do that when the crowd is going, it's not a man, mental!
Yeah, I can't even hear what you're saying.
You know, they're screaming the whole time. It throws your timing off. It throws other people's timing off. Like, they're waiting for their moment to laugh, and it's hard to do that when somebody just keeps screaming randomly. So it just turned into crowd work. You turns into we talk to the crowd, they talk back. You have to react to that.
Yeah.
You know,
it was fun.
Very primal.
very much so.
There was a moment where I thought it was gonna where this is gone.
Jessie May thought she was gonna get bit at one point. She's really didn't know if we were gonna get out of there without teeth marks on us.
It was kind of a disaster. Like, I thought it was a big
It was a disaster.
Fire.
It was a disaster.
But it was an entertaining
in our
disaster.
Eyes because of what we had planned for them. Mm-hmm. We basically had to, we went in there with the idea of we're going to do this show. And then they went in there with an idea of we're going to be Marines and we're going to have fun and we're going to go crazy. And these guys are going to fit in with us. And what happened is we ended up shifting gears where we abandoned our show.
I like how you think that they thought that we were going to fit in with them. They didn't think that. They went in there thinking we're going to disrupt this and have fun disrupting it. And then to their surprise, we kind of handled it.
Yeah, we shifted gears. And instead of doing our show, we did their show. And it was fun. It was something that I'll never forget. Because, again, we're not going to run into that crowd ever again. You know, we got to see Luis. Wasn't it Luis? Who? What was the guy's name? Who?
Sergeant Albino. It wasn't a Luis.
I thought it was. He ended up re-enlisting earlier in the day. It was amazing. And he ended up being kind of like our special guest that day.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you how close-knit everything is, he was allowed to, because he re-enlisted that day, he was allowed to, during the after party, we were in the enlisted area and all that, then we got invited to go and hang out with the colonel. Mm-hmm. And the colonel said, hey, Sergeant Albino, come with me up to the O Club. No non-officer ever goes to the O Club. But these guys were just all like, hey, come on in. And they just loved on each other. And everybody was cool. I had a good, good feeling about that place.
Yeah. I love how the story the next day was, whoa, Patrick got up and sang karaoke. I didn't have a choice. When those guys come at you with a microphone and a shot of whiskey, you just go along. It was like, okay.
What about that snake sake?
The snake sake. Smelled like snake sake. It smelled like a cadaver.
It was like it smelled like that you remember when you dissect? Yeah, it smelled like formaldehyde. It was that same smell of the dissection of a frog, and these guys would drink it. And then if you eat the snake at the end, like you would the worm in tequila, it would give you magical bedtime powers.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I want us to be able to sleep all the way through the night. And that's what I like.
Kind of bedtime powers, I don't think.
It was pretty nasty. That was a pretty nasty.
Some of those dudes drank it.
They did.
And then we left there and we went to the next base, which is the Army base in Zama City, Camp Zama. And I got to meet kind of the same thing. Went and did a tour and, and got
met
to see
the colonel,
base.
Met the sergeant major. Yeah. And
much better behaved crowd.
Yeah. Well, their families were there.
Yeah, they had,
it's
because
not
it's
just
a bigger
like,
base.
Oh, the Army's more docile than the Marines. No, it's like they were there with their wives and their kids and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So it was a little bit more...
A different crowd. They were still having a good time, don't get me wrong. And again, we got to hang out with those guys until very late in the evening after their kids had gone home. And we had a fantastic time.
Yeah, I didn't realize... I kind of thought that the whole singing karaoke was a stereotype.
Yeah, like a something... everybody in Japan,
no,
they sing karaoke.
They do.
They love it.
They really do. And it's fun, I guess, if you've been drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a great video of Patrick selecting Taylor Swift.
Oh, Bubba has videos, or he did. It was on Instagram stories. I don't know if you saved it, of me actually singing the Taylor Swift.
I think it's in my highlights. I don't know.
The sad thing is, I got like two-thirds of the way through, and it was so hot in that room, and I was putting so much into my Tay-Tay performance. I ran out of steam, man.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to stop. I can feel my heart rate up. I'm sweating.
I'm breathing heavy. You just called it off?
I'm just like,
I'm stepping down.
I handed the mic off to one of the girls. I'm like, I'm going to finish. I can't do it.
I've never seen
when
Patrick
you get winded
bail.
In the middle of in two thirds through singing a song, you know you've had enough.
Oh gosh, what a great trip! And then after that, we left and went to Yokosuka, the naval base, which I think probably that was probably my favorite city.
Well, we got to go.
That was when we got only. Well, that's
it was
only the time
biggest
we had time.
City we yeah. were in, and we got to actually go off base because our show was early. In the night, and we got to go. We ate dinner yeah. and ordered ramen from a vending
robot.
Machine.
Don't forget about the robot. I mean, plus we got to go. I get to go to the fire station there at Yokosuka and go and meet the chief and those
Bubba
guys
got to
are
meet Japanese firefighters. Who
Japanese
are like,
firefighters are like superheroes. If you don't believe me, just get on YouTube one day and do Japanese firefighter competition. You'll be like, what in the world? Like, seriously, much respect for those guys. Much.
But we got to go to a, when we saw about the robot, you walk in, and at lunch, we went to a place, you walk in, and there's like a little robot, and it takes your, you know, how many is in your party, how many tables, and it gives you a little ticket. And then you go sit down and eat, and then it's a sushi place that has the conveyor belt that snakes through the entire building, and so you just reach over and pick what you want. And
they charge you by the plate.
Yep.
Yep. We it was it was 1 yen or about 90 cents per plate, and we had on our table was me and Bubba and Jesse and Carly, and we ate like 40 plates.
Look at all the sushi. Ones still on the table. Patrick's got a picture, and
it was
there's still a bunch of
seven people ate sushi until we could barely move, and it cost like $85.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that
you
here
can't
in the States.
Do anything close to that.
And it was phenomenal.
Oh, it was so good. I don't even like sushi, and I thought it was good. It was really amazing.
I don't know what you eat in Japan if you don't like sushi.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, yeah, I mean.
There are pizza places and all that. Like, in the bigger towns, you would see, like, they would have, like, I don't know if it was Pizza Huts or whatever. I don't remember, but I remember seeing pizza places. And then yeah. I also remember there was a burrito shop that I saw.
Oh, I ate a burrito.
And, like, I was shocked.
I ate a breakfast
burrito. Mexican food.
1:30 in the morning. Okay,
was it
so
good?
Rewind a minute. We all went out to dinner. D and I walked a little bit and did some shopping, and then he went back to the base. And then me and Bubba, Jesse and Carly, and Sergeant Major from the Army base, who came to meet us, all went out drinking in Yokosuka. And we shut Japan down.
We did.
It was legendary.
There was no one else out
no
on the
one
streets.
Else out. Now, they have a curfew. We didn't know that till the next day.
Yeah, but the locals don't have a curfew.
Yeah,
and
still,
we stayed out past the locals.
We thought we were so awesome. We were like, everybody else is gone, man. We stayed out past everybody. Look, there's no Navy men around. They're all back on base. Yeah, well, turns out, we find out the next day, they have to be back on base by like 12:30. They have to be out of the bars by midnight. We come out at 1 o'clock and we're all like thumping our chest, like outdrank all the sailors.
Yeah, it was actually closer to 1:30.
Yeah, but yeah, they it's because they have curfews, and yeah. we did not.
I was in rare form. I didn't even remember the walk back, like the walk back from and like my daughter, like so it's like 9 a.m. in the States, and my daughter's texting me having fun. I'm like, yeah, I'm having fun.
So and he sent her a picture of him. And the ninja. So this guy walks in, legit looked like a ninja. He had like a
straight out of some manga cartoon.
Yeah, he had like an ankle length black trench coat on, and he had his hair. It was like shoulder length, but like half pulled back into a ponytail, and he just looked like
a ninja,
a character from a comic book. But he was drunk.
I didn't see him
stumbled.
Almost fall down.
Oh, he almost fell down. At one point, he tried to take his glass, do something with his glasses, and they fell off his face onto the table. Like, he was just stumbly. And Bubba goes, I think it's a ninja. And I said, you should go take a selfie with him. And, of course, Bubba was really open to suggestion at that point because he had been drinking. And he went, I am going to take a picture with the
yes.
ninja. So
zero hesitation.
Not even think about it. So I can only imagine this poor guy sitting at a bar.
Who does
in
not yeah, speak no, English.
No English. Bubba comes
the bartenders
up.
Do not speak English.
Bubba went up to him and took a picture with him. We took selfies with the bartender because he looked like Japanese Justin Bieber or Japston Bieber. You know, he was just—he was great.
We had the best time, and again, I'm going to say it: the people in Japan were fascinating and awesome and super friendly. Like they were like they were above and beyond, man. I'm going to say it again: if you get a chance to ever go to Japan, whether it's with the military or if you've got a friend who's over there or whatever, take that opportunity and go. Go, just make sure you have somebody, because you can hire translators and tour guides and all that. I would make sure that you have somebody who speaks the language or can read the signs that can be with you, because it's a game changer. Like, I've had our those resources available to us, except for that one night. And it was fantastic, and it was amazing. And I love Japan. I have a lot of respect for those who are there. You know, there's a lot of military who go there.
And come back.
They stay. They're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to stay here. Yeah. Like,
Randy was our guide at Camp Zama, and Randy was, you know, stationed in Japan and then just decided when he was out to stay there.
Yeah.
He's been working with, you know, with the Army and the NWR since, but he's a civilian. That's crazy, man. It's like, I can't imagine. I can kind of imagine going and living in Europe, but like Japan, that seems, you got to really love it because you don't even understand the letters on paper.
No, it's easier to speak and understand the spoken language than the written. The written is very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard.
It's cool looking, though.
Even Randy's, he didn't read.
But, you know, when I've gone to Europe many times, and when you don't speak the language, you still get enough. Mm-hmm. You can make out enough just by, you know, the alphabet. You know, you may not speak French or German, but you know you know the letters in the words. You can put some things together, as opposed to in Japanese, where it's all in that. I don't even know what it's even called.
Like even their stop signs were shaped different. Their stop signs looked like yield signs.
Oh yeah,
and like so
and they drive on the wrong side of the road.
And they drive on the wrong side of the road. I mean, there was just all kinds of different things going on, and the wrong side of the car.
Yeah,
like that was crazy. You know, you go to get in the car and you realize you get in the driver's seat by accident. You're like, oh, sorry. You drive, please.
The best was D sitting in the passenger seat, which was where an American driver's seat would be, and pretending and miming like he was driving the car. We were punch drunk because that was really funny at the time.
Or maybe drunk.
You know, I might have actually been drunk.
I thought it was cool to see all the ships and stuff that were at the naval base.
That's the
largest foreign base.
Yeah, the largest foreign Navy base overseas.
Yeah.
We got to go and actually tour the USS John McCain, which is incredible in itself, because that is one of the ships. We had two naval accidents here, last year, where there two naval ships were involved in accidents with civilian ships, and one of them was the McCain.
Lost 10 sailors.
Yeah, they did. They lost 10 sailors on the McCain. During that accident. So it was in, and they gave us the tours, and the stuff they were showing us was really cool. I got to, these guys stayed up top. I ended up going down deep into the bottom.
What? We stayed up top because they brought us into this little room where the ladder was and went, you guys got to go down this ladder. And Dee and I both went, that's not happening.
There's
a tiny hole with a steep ladder going down.
That's a recipe.
And you go down forwards, which is cool.
Yeah. There's some times in your life where you go, this is not going to be, I don't care how cool this is, I'm going to get hurt, and I'm not tipped to fate.
I went, and it was amazing, and like there were spots in the ship where you go down, and they're like, okay, this section we're going in, no phones are allowed, take off smartwatches, anything and everything like that, so we had to take all that stuff off, leave it outside, and then go and tour certain facilities, and the stuff we saw was super cool. The stuff that we didn't see was super cool. Like, even when, did you guys go up to the bridge of the ship?
Mm-mm.
Y'all didn't do that either?
No, we stayed on deck and looked at all the big guns.
We got to go up to the bridge and do that one as well. And even on the bridge, they had stuff covered with these little tarps and everything. And I mentioned it to, because I know Jesse and Carly went with me. And I was like, so did you see all the stuff that was covered? And they're like, no, what do you mean covered? I'm like, you didn't see how they would have like a random whiteboard on over a computer screen or something like that, like in a weird place? No. I'm like, yeah, that was the stuff that we're not supposed to see.
Yeah,
you know, all those tarps are covering sensitive equipment and all that. I'm like, that's the coolest to me.
Speaking of the girls, I texted both of them an hour ago to see if they were awake, and I've gotten no reply.
Call Jessie Mae.
You call her from your phone. She might answer. You plug it into the board.
Course, yes, by the way, a lot of people have asked if I shaved. Yes, I shaved off the mustache.
Yeah, you shaved your mustache.
Yeah.
Why?
Because everybody made fun of it.
That's what we're supposed to do.
I know.
People make fun of my beard. I don't shave it.
You should.
No, it's called committing.
Well, I'll regrow it one day, I'm sure.
All right, turn it.
Oh, there you are.
I'm going to say no way she answers.
No.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Wow.
She... A message.
No. Oh, thank you out.
I'm gonna...
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
What's up? It's D and Patrick and Bubba, and we were just calling to say hi, and that's all. We're on the podcast, and we thought we'd catch you. You're probably asleep.
We don't blame
or
you.
Or still messed up from jet lag, which I am still. Thank you. Bye. Love you. I'm still messed up. I woke up at 1:30 this morning, wide awake.
I showed Patrick my, because my watch shows my sleep schedule. I woke up last night 22 times. Yeah. 22 different times
it's
I woke up last night.
It's been every night this week for me. It's like I roll over, I wake up, I fall asleep, I sleep 45 minutes. It's like my body doesn't know what time it is. It's like, hey, isn't it 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Shouldn't we be doing some stuff?
Yeah, it's been doing that for me all week, too. And then the good thing is now we're kind of starting to get a little closer to being acclimated.
Oh,
and we get the time change this weekend.
Daylight savings time!
Just a
my
kick
least
in the
favorite
gut.
Stupid freaking
Again,
thing that we do.
We need to stop daylight savings time. It is antiquated and dumb and completely about one thing, and that is control. It's the government trying to keep us off kilter.
Yeah, I always make fun of people who have like one issue. Voters who vote based on one thing, you know, and they don't take the bigger picture into account. But I'm telling you, if there was a candidate who said, I'm going to make it my mission to end daylight savings time, I would probably vote for that guy. I don't care what the rest of the stuff is.
Yeah. I'd
be like, yeah, I'm on board with this. Because it's
if they promise that they're going to do it and they say that, you know, I will die if they don't get rid of daylight savings time.
Who would say that?
Well, I want to make sure the candidate's like legit and not just trying to take my vote.
Yeah. Try to make sure.
I want them to have some skin in the game.
Full in.
That's what I say. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're all the way in. I will get rid of daylight savings time. If I don't, well, then I will die. And then that person.
This is why Bubba's not allowed to do politics. Anything. He's not allowed to talk about politics or.
Why?
I will die.
Well, that's the thing. That means they're not committed. If they're not willing to
say. Someone's been in Japan.
If they're not willing to say that they would,
I am a
knock
samurai, and if I don't keep my word, I will stab myself with this sword
in the belly. I think I'm safe there.
Yeah, I think we're all punched.
I need a much
D looks
bigger
like he's
sword.
Literally asleep.
I fell asleep
right
now. I'm not kidding. Yesterday, I fell asleep on the road, and I went off the road and into over the curb, and in the grass, and the curb woke me up. Yeah. I was close to the house, and
I
feel
better.
And went to bed.
I feel better because I did the same thing. Not as bad. I thought I was blinking. Like you know, my eyes were super heavy. It was right after leaving work yesterday. My eyes were super heavy, and I was just kind of blinking. But I thought it was a prolonged blink on purpose just to kind of let them, you know, get some.
That's how your brain tricks you.
And I did that, and next thing you know, I opened my eyes, and I'm probably 200 yards down the road, and I'm half off of the road. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was longer than I thought it was. Yeah. I mean, I went, okay, this is not good.
I think we should all spend the weekend taking naps and getting caught up.
I can't.
Sleep.
Man, I got dad duties all weekend.
Oh, well.
Your kids are big enough. Well, they're fine. They're old enough they can
it's
do
project
take care
weekend.
Themselves.
I have to base it. You know how it goes. I'm a parent. I have to do all these projects for my kids. Projects are the dumbest thing ever.
No kidding.
My parents used to do mine. Now I'm doing mine for my kids. They're stupid.
Stupid. For what?
For nothing.
Nothing.
They don't learn anything extra by doing a project.
No, they don't. You learn how to glue paper to another piece of paper.
And they don't really do it. Because what happens is you're like, come on, help. And your kids are distracted because they're kids. So you have to do it or else it doesn't get done. So as a parent, you feel the pressure of, if I don't do this, my child fails. So you end up doing it for them.
My parents did not do that stuff for me.
Well, you didn't try hard enough.
That's right. Yeah. Your parents didn't love you as much as ours, obviously. Yeah.
We love our kids.
Before we wrap it up, I'll say if you want to see some of the videos, we have videos and pictures and stuff on all of our social medias. Of course, the show one at Big D and Bubba, which is for everything. Patrick's is at Radio Patrick.
Yeah. Side note, I have John Rich as a guest on the Five Whiskey Patrick podcast this week. That's up now everywhere. So wherever you're listening to this, when you're done, just go look for Five Whiskey Patrick and, you know, tell all your friends.
And also, do a favor, and would you give us a rating on...
Yeah, 5-star ratings.
On this podcast?
Please.
Please, that would help a lot. Thank you.
And shout out to Stephen Smith, who said this. He said, Bubba said dad duties. Duties, like poop.
Okay.
That's my boy.
Oh, wow.
It's definitely time to end the
Beatles.
Podcast.
Beatles! Beatles.
All right. Thanks to O'Reilly for helping us sponsor the podcast. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Beatles.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the podcast.
Mark Wills is in the studio with us. He's the best.
How are you, man?
Good, man.
It's been nice catching up with you off the air, like waiting for the songs to end and all that. It's nice to be able to kind of, I mean, because we haven't talked to you in quite a while.
I think it's been about 47 years.
That's longer than I am old.
Well, me too. It's been a long time, man. Yeah, I think we were visiting there for a moment, and you said something about the event we did at Fort Campbell years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's been
years ago.
Years ago. At least a decade.
Yeah. That was right after the Second World War.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like
that. We're welcoming the troops of the boys back home.
Welcome back, guys. Welcome back, boys.
Fresh home from Germany.
Here they are now coming through, and can't wait to hear Don't Laugh at Me from the beautiful Mark Wells.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's how it went at all, actually. I don't think that's it.
What year was Don't Laugh at Me?
98.
1998.
98, yeah.
Well, that song was ahead of its time.
Man, it was, you know.
If you think about the way the world is now.
Yeah, yeah. We were fortunate. We have been very fortunate to have a lot of songs that really kind of have just sort of hung around. And that song is one of them, man. That's generational now. It's been one of those deals where 1998 it came out. I had to argue with the record company about making that song a single, and it was one of those deals where it was like, look, man, I'm telling you, this song can be huge, and they released it, and it was a number one record, and then it has just sort of continued to live its own life, you know, over the last couple of decades.
Like, how is that? I would think that would be in commercials and things like that. Like, it's one of those songs.
Do you have somebody who pushes for that kind of thing?
I really don't know. I don't. I'm not there anymore. I'm not at Mercury Records anymore.
I know, but I mean, there's someone who can. Oh, so they would get it, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it would be one of those deals.
So
where,
do they own the song? They own it, even though you did it?
Well, they own the record. They own the record, but, you know. But,
oh, so
but
you
I'm
would
the,
have to re-record it for you to actually get a benefit out of it.
You know,
I see a lot of people do that.
I've never really wanted to do that. I'm one of those people that sort of believe that the original record is exactly what people have heard.
Right.
That's what they've heard. I don't like hearing something that's been re-recorded.
I agree.
That drives
you get
me crazy.
In your head, and that's the way you
yeah.
like it.
Yeah. Those little licks, those little things that the steel guitar did or the yep. fiddle yeah. did, that drives me crazy when I hear something and I'm like,
that's not right.
I swear to God, there was a guitar lick right there in the background. Well, I hate
the same
that
way.
Stuff.
Concerts are the worst because people get so used to hearing a song, or they're singing a song.
Yeah.
And so they're singing this, and everyone knows it from the album.
Right.
And they get in concert, and then they do a little weird, like, vocal flurry thing, yeah. or they delay the note a little longer.
Or they don't delay
or they
the
don't.
Note.
Yeah,
right. Or they totally change it.
Or they pull a Bon Jovi, and they go, whoa, we're halfway there.
And then they
point the mic up.
Point the microphone.
He can't hit that note
yeah,
anymore.
No, I can hit that note.
Give
you
him
can't
a
hit
break.
That note. I can't hit that note. Carrie Underwood hits that note.
Yeah.
She's the only one.
You know, in my head, I went.
I love it.
See,
in your head. Your own head.
I can't even hear my own head. Right. Mark Wills is with us. We're going to take a break. He's got big news, some congratulatory news. We'll talk about that coming up. Mark Wills joining us in the studio, and you can check him out, markwills.com, markwills.com. So take us back to...
December 21st or January 11th?
We'll do both. Give us a little bit of both.
Yeah.
December 21st was just a regular night at the Grand Ole Opry, except for the fact that they were honoring one of my very, very good friends by the name of Jimmy Capps, who had was celebrating his 60th year at playing on the Grand Ole Opry. He came to the Opry as a kid playing for the Lufen Brothers. And it was December of whatever year that was, because I'm horrible at math, so I guess it was 60. So there was 58. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rain Man.
Simple subtraction.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, simple subtraction for some, not for me.
Jeez, golly, Patrick.
4 + 4 = February.
Exactly. Teacher Patrick is very mean.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Simple subtraction, stupid.
Well, you carry the one, and you, and yeah. So there you go. 1958, he came in, and he was playing with the Lufen Brothers. And so since 1958, he has been one of the main guitar players, and then over the last few decades, he has become, like, one of the staples of the Opry band.
So they do a big tribute to him
Tribute to him that night, and I had called the Opry, and because of the Larry's Country Diner shows and the Country's Family Reunion, all the things that we've done over the years with and the Opry with Jimmy, I called and I said, hey, listen, I really want to be a part of that night. I'll make the drive up from Atlanta. I really want to be there to honor Jimmy and his 60 years. And so they call me back, and they're like, hey, we can fit you in on Friday night. And I was like, perfect, you know. And so I drive to Nashville and come up and be there for the entire deal. And you know, I'm standing backstage, and they're showing me they were honoring him. They were naming the band cage in the Opry House after Jimmy. It was the Jimmy Capps band room.
Wow.
And they were doing stuff like that. And so it was really, really neat. There were cameras all over the place, man, and I was just honored to be there as they honored Jimmy that night. And I had went to the Vince Gill, Amy Grant show the night before. We were doing some Christmas songs that night. It's December 21st. You know, it's 4 days before Christmas. That was pretty good. I got that simple math.
Yeah, right. See?
you can do it that way.
I can do it that way.
I love how you pointed at me like, ha-ha.
So at that point, I go on stage, and we play New Star Shining, which is one of my favorite Ricky Skaggs, James Taylor songs. Then we play 19-something, and then Vince Gill leans over, and he says, hey, man, come back out and sing one song with me. Let's close the night. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
This is great.
So I walk over, and I take, you know, and I love Vince Gill. And there's a whole – and you have to go – there's a big story behind why I always take a selfie on stage with Vince Gill. The very first time I did it was at the Time Jumpers, and I was giving him a hard time about his cell, you know, getting an iPhone. He got an iPhone 4 when everybody else had like an 8, you know. He was brand new to the iPhone world. I was giving him a hard time about taking selfies and sending texts and stuff like that. So I walk on stage and I throw my phone up to take a picture of me and Vince Gill, and he tells me I'm number one, but he doesn't use that finger. He was like, you know, right, just as a joke. So that's why I always take a selfie with Vince. So I walk out to sing with Vince, or I say, what are we going to sing? And he goes, sing Pocket Full of Gold. That's my favorite Vince Gill song. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. We're going to sing Pocket Full of Gold at Christmas time to close the Opry. But I wasn't going to argue with Vince. I walk out, and he starts talking. And as he's talking, I reach up and I sort of start taking my earbuds out, and I go to take the selfie with Vince. And I take the selfie where I throw my phone up, and he's like, I don't want to sing a song with you right now. And I look back, and I'm like, what? You know, and it totally shocked me. I was like, wait a minute, you just told me you wanted me to come sing with you. And as I go to put the phone in my pocket, he says, myself and the folks at the Grand Ole Opry want to know if you want to be the newest member. And I ugly cried. It was such a shock. I had absolutely no idea. They had totally kept it from me. They didn't tell my management. They didn't tell me. They didn't tell my wife and kids. They
but
didn't
you,
tell
all the stars
anybody.
And
they're banking
perfectly.
On the fact that you're going to agree to sing with Vince Gill. I mean, what if you just
but you,
go,
was it, you called
good.
Them to come up and yeah. be
right.
part of it.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Everything just kind of lined up perfect. So maybe they were looking for the opportunity, and it just presented itself there on December 21st.
Well, I think it was. But in hindsight, looking back, they had called me at the 1st of December, or about the 10th of December, asking me when I was available in January. And that they never do that. But I was like, well, I'm going to be doing this and I'll be doing that. I'll be in town the 11th and the 12th. And they were like, perfect. Let's lock you in for the 11th and the 12th. And so I was like, okay, fair enough. You know, I'm going to be in town anyway.
And then the 11th and 12th comes, and what happens?
The 11th, I get inducted as the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry. After
was it
you know,
a surprise who was? Doing the induction?
Did
they keep
well,
it from you?
It, yes and no. And I'll tell you how that went down, and it really couldn't have happened any better. Craig Morgan is a great friend of mine, and we have spent a lot of time together on USO tours and done a lot of stuff like that. Originally, it was going to be Ronnie Millsap, and Millsap got sick and couldn't be there. So Craig actually came down. He was at he was up in Louisville at an event. And he got on the bus, and he came down from Louisville to do the induction, and turned around and drove right back to Louisville.
Wow.
So, you know, and we had spent a lot of time the week before together on an event that we were doing with the Opry. And I was so blown away. I mean, the induction night was great because I actually had a little bit of, you know, I had foreknowledge that it was coming, so I held it together. I didn't cry. I didn't ugly cry like I did on
December
21st.
You got all the emotions out, you know, a couple weeks before.
Yeah,
that's so great.
It was incredible, man.
Congrats to you, man.
Thank you. You're
well deserved. It's one of those where you're kind of like, yeah, of course, yeah. That's what. Yes.
Duh.
Mark Wills. Of course, yeah.
Well, you know, we have. It is something that I can remember being a kid. And when I say a kid, I mean a literal kid, 6, 7 years old, and watching at my grandpa's house back on TNN, I'm watching the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
And thinking, man, how cool would that be? Watching Porter Wagoner, watching Grandpa Jones, watching, you know, just all the greats, Mr. Acuff. I never got to meet Roy Acuff. I never got to meet, you know, several of those folks that are the iconic members of the Grand Ole Opry, Ernest Tubb, people like that. You know, so I kind of feel like for this place in my life where I am right now, you know, maybe I'll get to be for some new kid.
That's right.
One of those guys,
right?
Yeah. That they looked at and they heard the songs. They heard "Don't Laugh at Me." They heard "Wish You Were Here." They heard 19 something. They heard those tunes and they were like, "Yeah, man, that's what country music's all about." And then they come to the Opry. They visit the Opry and I get to see them and I get to shake their hand and welcome them to the circle. Or, you know, or welcome them into the traditions that are the Grand Ole Opry. And then, you know, who knows? That's a cool thing.
I wanted to talk to you. I don't think I've ever told you this. One of my favorite songs, country songs ever, is 19 something.
Yeah.
And I've always thought that this is like the, you know, "We Didn't Start the Fire" country version.
Right.
And it means like every time now when I feel like it's one of those songs that I never get tired of, and I go back and like as you get older and you go back and you listen to it, you go, "Oh yeah,
that it gets better."
Yeah.
Every time I hear it, it gets better.
The last time I heard it, I really thought, "Man, it's time for an update," because there's a whole different generation. I mean, that ended at the 19 somethings.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for 20 something.
You think it's time for
you
that?
You can do the 1990s.
Forget those millennials.
Then do the
20s, they don't need a song.
And then no, but it's just it's time.
They don't download records.
What would you do? I mean, I think you're on to, have you ever thought about that, doing a 20 something?
You know, I haven't. And I'll tell you why. It's kind of like it's one of those deals where, you know, George Jones recorded "Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes?" You know, and we could go past what he talked about from the 50s and 60s and say, okay, because there's a new generation of people that may not know who "God Bless the Boys from Memphis," you know, and stuff like that. They may not realize that also included Jerry Lee and, you know, and other people like that. I always believe that great songs are great songs, and we necessarily shouldn't try to update them because, you know, it's kind of like the re-record, like we were just talking about re-recording a hit. Those yeah. original records have they just sort of have their own thing.
Yeah, there's that. You know, I think you're right. You know, I remember when who redid "Devil Went Down to Georgia."
A lot of people.
Travis Tritt.
They did and, a. What was Mark, that?
What's his name? The Nashville Cats. I can't. The fiddle
Mark
player.
Mark O'Connor.
Mark O'Connor. Thank
and
you.
And they yeah. did. It was like the devil.
The devil came back to
came
Georgia.
Back to Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Right. Not so good. And they got Johnny Cash and they had all these other people. And it was right. kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of like.
The idea was
really?
Better than it really
well,
was.
Well, so really we're clear. That? I still hold a grudge to this day to Charlie Daniels because he got me one of the worst whippings of my life. Because I was sitting in the back seat at the ripe old age of 6, and I was like, I told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best that's ever been.
I think all of us
and my have. Mama, my mama, from at all 5 foot tall, beat the crap out of me in the far corner of our
was
Chevy
she
Nova.
Driving?
Yes, of course she was driving.
You know?
Of course she was
that
driving.
That wasn't a passenger seat whooping. That was
no,
a driver's seat
No, that was
seat
a driver's seat whooping.
Those
you
are
know?
The worst ones because they can't even really look at you. They just blindly swing.
Exactly. So, you know, those are the classics, man. You know, there have been times where I was approached by the record label and they were like, you know, we need to go in and we need to record, you know, redo stuff. And I did. I went in and recorded a record that was basically all just some of my favorite songs. And we were, you know, we recorded, you know, Smoky Mountain Rain, and I recorded, you know, different things like that. But then as I look back on that, I'm kind of like, you know, those are the classics. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like Alan Jackson did an album like that where he went in and did Papa Top.
Yeah, but that was a huge record.
That's what I'm saying. And they spent a lot of time on making that record, you know, just a great record. And if I had the opportunity to do something like that, I probably would.
Well, I think it was the way he did it, though. He reintroduced a bunch of great songs
right.
to a generation that had never heard those great songs.
Right.
Kind of like that Daryl Singletary album that a lot of people, you know,
yeah.
kind
Absolutely.
Of ignored. But it's one of the greatest albums ever when you go back and look at it now.
I have it on my phone right now. That's the very, and it's kind of funny that you would say Daryl Singletary because every time I plug my phone into my truck, I hear A11.
Really?
It's the
because
very
it's the first
song.
Alphabetical song.
It's the very first song in alphabetical order. And funny. Because Daryl was a friend and somebody that I toured with, when I get in the truck and I plug it in and A11 comes on, I listen to A11.
Yeah.
You know?
Every single time?
Every single
well,
time.
Sometimes I would go, not today, Daryl.
I wish my phone, my car did it by song title. Mine does it by artist title. So every time I get in, it's Take On Me by Aha. I'm like, oh, God, this again. And then I end up,
Take On Me.
Speaking of 19-something, Mark Wills was the song of the year. Stayed at number one for 7 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And it bought him a car.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. But it did. David Lee tells the story about how he was like, "You need to come over and get in the Mark Wills Memorial hot tub, and or get on the Mark Wills Memorial boat, or come over and at least visit the Mark Wills Memorial house." And I'm like, "Why a memorial?" And he goes, "It's just it's a memory. It's not. It's not like you're dead. It's just it's just a memory.
It's a memorial.
Right. I've got all these memories." I was like, "Fair enough,
dude. It's so good to see you again. We've got to do this more often.
Absolutely, my man.
So what a fun time with you. MarkWills.com.
I think next time you should bring a guitar
for sure."
That
next
would
time,
be a fun one.
Next time I will bring my guitar and we will play some of the songs that brought me to the dance, like places I've never been and Jacob's Ladder.
And by the dance, you mean the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't going to throw that in again, but yes. Go ahead. Hey, hold on. If you will, go ahead. I'm going to get my headphones on. I'm going to get my headphones on so they're really good and sealed, and I want to hear you say that again. Go ahead.
The newest member of the Grand Ole Opry, Mark Wills!
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.